Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here for a Sunday special episode with you, Jordana. How are you? What's happening?
I'm great. Getting into, that fall feeling. And I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. She's been on our show before. She is my older sister and clinical psychologist, Dr. Naomi Bernstein. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, guys.
A fan favorite. People loved that episode with you and just loved the whole, getting into because we're talking out of our asses here, and it's nice right. To have a professional on here with us.
I'll take all the responsibility away from you guys if that helps.
That does help a lot.
Yes. If you disagree with anything we say, now we have a professional to come in and tell us how fucked up our thoughts are.
Now, I had a really good time talking to you guys last time. I'm looking forward to doing it. And you get some great questions. You guys have forwarded a lot of questions, and they're all pretty, pretty interesting and real deal stuff. So it's fun.
Well, I think for us, we live in this world where, like, sometimes it's easier to email it than it is to even say to someone that you're sitting with and you're like, say to a professional. Like, sometimes it's just easier to write it down on the page and send it off into the ether of this podcast. And then I would think some of this is very therapeutic for people to even just write.
100%, which is why, sometimes Jordana sent me a couple of the emails and they were, maybe they were a little bit older. And I said, well, is there a point in still doing this? This person's probably still not struggling with this problem. But I think what happens is, like you said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Even if you have a therapist, you're not texting her, at 2 o'clock in the morning or him. So it is, I think, therapeutic just to hear yourself speak about whatever it is. And sometimes even as you're typing it, you're kind of like, okay, I think I know what I need to do here.
So I have a separate question before we get into the email, if you don't mind. I wanted to know, what is the most common, now that we're, 6 months into this COVID quarantine world, there's a lot of talk of, like, relationships ending and like, this surge of divorce. You hear a lot about that. That's a very clickbaity story. Are you seeing this happening in regards to with being stuck in the house together for this many months? And what is kind of the most common COVID quarantine-related issue that you're coming across with people you see?
You know what I think it is? It's just what is what it seems to be, which is that people have a lot more time on their hands, so they have more time to think about their relationships and whether or not they're working, they're not commuting, they're not probably doing as much as they were doing before, they're not socializing as much. So I think you just start the wheels turning a little bit more, not to be necessarily sexist one way or the other, but I think even women to some extent more than men start to have a little quiet time and start to think, is this right? Is this, I noticed that he's doing this thing. Is that okay? Is that not okay? So like some of the emails that we, that you guys sent over, but I think it's a lot of just, we're spending more time together. I'm noticing little things. And so the little stuff that starts to bubble up and then there's an argument over something that is probably not what you're really arguing about. It just brings all the underlying stuff to the surface, and the underlying stuff could be fear of commitment. It could be personality differences. It could be lack of communication, all that stuff. I think just bubbles up.
So I see that. It's like, there's no one, hell hath no fury like a woman who has time to think about things.
It's my favorite bit to do with Jess is to go, you got to stop doing all that thinking. You know what happens to you? You know, when you start thinking like that, you start going crazy. And she hates it so much, and I laugh hysterically. I do understand, though, also where it's like, without the hustle and bustle of driving from this place to that place, it is just you two. And you're kind of like, what am I, is this the rest? I guess the question becomes like, is this the rest of my life? Which is very sad.
Right, like purpose. I think a lot of people start to feel like, what is my purpose? And if your job is kind of blah and your social life is kind of blah and you're not traveling, you're not making plans, you're not doing all that stuff, you're kind of like, okay, my purpose is to be in this relationship and my purpose is to progress this relationship. And sometimes when that's happening in a way you don't want or it's not happening, that's when I think it starts to feel like, okay, you know, what's going on here? We got to talk about this.
Right. It's such a bigger part of your life than it. I mean, like if you're spending pretty much like 24/7 with someone, that's like a much larger piece of your whole social life pie than it was before when you were going out with friends or going to weddings or distracted by other work stuff. So that definitely makes sense to me.
I would also think that a part of it and is that like you've lost because we don't have like the other cup. We've lost the couple doing worse than us or the people that are doing worse than us. Like, we don't get to interact with them. So you've kind of lost your baseline. You're not like, well, it could be worse. I could be, you know, I could be John Smith and in their relationship and look how shitty they're doing publicly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you've lost that.
Right. 100%. Nobody's posting their arguments on social media. You know, you don't get it. So you see them, you know, someone storm out of the party or...
Yeah.
Not show up for the birthday dinner or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We got a couple of emails. It's very, thank you for coming back on the show. I'm excited. I'm sure Jordana is. And do we have anything else? Do we want to go to the emails?
I think we can get right into the emails. My only last question for you was like, do you see couples like over Zoom?
Yeah.
No?
100%.
That's interesting.
What is that? Are they in different computers? Are they in the same box?
So interesting. They're usually in the same box, but like sometimes, you know, some couples don't want to sit that close together to be able to get into the same box if they're not getting along. So that's always, you know, not always, but sometimes.
Things are bad. It's gotten worse. We're in two different boxes this week.
100. And I could tell because there was, you know, I did have a couple where, you know, they were talking as if they were in the same house, but they were in two different spaces. So they were in the house, but they were just not
in the same room.
And then we talked more about it. And that was actually one of the big issues in their relationship is that they just like kind of mark their territory in the house and stay in separate rooms. So it gave us a little bit of, you know, fuel for
what a luxury.
Right.
As two people who are living with people in one bedroom apartments.
Right.
Can you imagine?
What? And complaining about it.
I feel like it's actually better in some ways. It works really well because you don't have to coordinate schedules quite as much. You don't have to account for, you know, travel time. And so it's, you know.
That's the thing we're kind of learning about, like, all of this stuff is like, everyone has their pluses and minuses. If you're in a one bedroom apartment, you're like, it's great. We're on the couch together. We have fun together. We talk. The fights are had right away. If you're in like a four bedroom, you know, mansion, you're like, yeah, it's great. We get to stay away from each other. We never have to fight. We never, you know, and then it's like, then it goes the other way. There's bad and good.
Totally.
Right. 100%.
I know we kind of glazed over. We should introduce like your background, what you do. I'm sorry, I didn't really get into that, Jordana.
Well, if you guys haven't listened to the previous episode that she was on, I guess we can give you a little background. Naomi, do you want to explain? It's weird. Should I call you Dr. Bernstein, even though you're my sister?
No,
for the purpose of the show, I'm not.
This
even
is a
sure.
professional setting,
right?
I am a private practitioner. My virtual office is all over the place, but is currently in Long Island. I specialize in couples and relationships. So basically I do a lot of couples therapy, but I also do a lot working with people trying to get over a breakup, dealing with a relationship that is unhealthy, that isn't working out, trying to figure out, do you want to stay? Do you want to leave? And a lot of times I have individuals that come in and work, like one person doesn't want to come, so I work with the other person, and that works okay. Sometimes they bring stuff home and they talk about it. Obviously it's better if two people come in, but so relationships are sort of my area of expertise, whether it's trying to make them work or trying to, be done one way or the other. Getting unstuck.
And someone who's out there single and wants to speak to a professional, you do that too?
Oh, for sure. So yeah, I should have mentioned that too. 100%. Like if people are single and they are, a lot of people who are single are not happy being single. They crave yeah. that relationship. They crave that, connection. So that's something that I help a lot of people with too, is just trying to figure out ways to be happy on your own. And the whole, you can't love someone else till you love yourself thing, which is 100% a real thing. Because otherwise you just project all of your own issues onto this person and it just makes the relationship complicated. So yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. I 100% love helping people that are single and trying to figure out how they can be their best selves before getting into a relationship.
And if you're out there and you want to listen to Dr. Bernstein's first episode with us, it's called "Should I Come Clean About My Past on a First Date?" That's the name of the episode that Dr. Bernstein was on with us. And where can they find you if they want to reach out to you privately and be like, "Hey, let's do a session. Let's figure out how can I?" Because there are people. Listen, right now, I've said this on here, but I think a lot of people are just dealing with again, time on their hands. They're going to play. Their mind is going to places that maybe they've never gone before. And the idea of going, and I would assume that business is good because of Zoom, how easy it makes it to kind of figure out a time to do it, to do this on your own couch instead of the couch in your office. Right.
100%. 100%. And so two things, my website's NaomiBernstein.com. So you can, go there, check out some more information about me and reach out to me on that. But I've also joined something called Grouport Therapy, which is a really cool new business, which is basically online group therapy. So if you don't have great insurance or you don't have any coverage or, you don't have a ton of money to spend on individual therapy, you can get into an online group. And I think it's $100 for the first month. So you get four group therapy sessions for $100. So if you go on there, it's really easy. You input just basically your name and your email and then click on, then the next page is you can choose what type of group you want. So they have college stress group. They have, mine is relationship group. So if you want to talk to me, click on relationships, you'll see my name pop up. And it's a great way to just talk to some of these questions that people have. You can come into the group and raise whatever questions you have. And then you get to hear what I have to say about it. But you can also get feedback from other people that are going through similar issues, whether it's breakups or relationship issues or some of the stuff we're talking about here, living together during quarantine or whatever it is. So it's kind of a cool way to get started in therapy, and you don't have to commit to a huge amount of time, but you can get started and it's pretty inexpensive. So that's another great way to do it.
How do you spell that again? Can you say, what's the name of the website?
Grouporttherapy.com. So Grouport therapy.
Grouport.
Yes. Grouport. Okay. Therapy.com.
I would assume also it's the subtle comfort of knowing you're not alone, that other people are kind of going through similar things than you.
Totally.
Because you get more perspective.
Professional. So yeah. There's a little bit of a, I don't share personal details about myself. Maybe little bits and pieces, but I'm not sitting there opening up about my personal problems. So it's nice. You kind of get the combination of somebody who's a professional who's trained, and then you get other people that are also saying, "Oh my God, my boyfriend does the same thing," or "Oh my God, I feel the same way," or whatever it is,
It's like a moderated Facebook group. You've seen any of those?
There's no such thing. Facebook groups are the best. They're out of control. okay, this is great. So everyone, go, if you're going to reach out to anybody, Dr. Bernstein. Her episode before was amazing. This will be great.
We'll link out to your website also in the description of this episode. There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon chair to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to come up with that same look at home. Even the best blowout brush won't give you that salon shine. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair that I've always wanted. Now I love the way my hair looks and feels. It's like salon fresh hair that starts at the roots. I have the Grow Hair Serum, and I can already tell that it's working. Like, my hair feels healthier. I love that it doesn't make my hair feel oily or sticky. I feel like I'm doing something really healthy for my hair. I also got to try the lash serum and the brow serum. Honestly, my hair has been hard to grow, so I love what Vegamore is doing, and I'm already seeing results. I'm already seeing thicker, faster growing hair. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best-looking results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker-looking hair. When I sign up for monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more, and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Give your hair the power of a little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, UUP listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
Jordana, you ready?
Yeah, let's do a couple emails. Now that we have a professional here.
These are pro emails. These are the types we bring in. We bring in the big guns. This is these types of emails.
Yes. All right. I'll read the first one.
Okay.
What up, J&J? Love the podcast. Has been helping me get through the mundane work from home days. I have a question about how to approach a conversation about finances with my fiance. My fiance and I have been together for 4 years and plan to get married in a small courthouse wedding next summer when COVID is hopefully over. We don't live together due to family reasons, but we have talked about sharing finances once we get married and have pretty much always been on the same page regarding financial plans and how we prioritize our money. We decided that we want to save up to put a down payment on a house in the near future. To decide how much we were both going to contribute to this fund, we calculated our individual monthly expenses, rent, car loan, average food, gym memberships, etc., and looked at how much money we had left over from our respective paychecks, and each decided we would contribute 30% of that amount. Doing this calculation, we each are contributing about the same amount. My fiance makes a bit more money than I do, but he also pays a bit more in rent and postmates most of his lunches, so it didn't strike me as strange that we ended up paying the same for our down payment fund. Fast forward to 2 weekends ago, my boyfriend was talking to his roommate about how much they spend on weed, and he said they each spend about $500 a month each. I know my boyfriend smokes quite a bit, and I really don't care because it doesn't impact his life negatively, but that amount of money still really surprised me. When I brought it up to him, he said that he included that amount in his average monthly expenses, which I don't feel great about. Before getting mad...
I have to say, for a couple that I was like, wow, they are really doing it right. Like, I was like, man, this is so honest. This is so great. Oh, my God. I forgot that pound of Kush I'm buying on a monthly basis. Like, what?
That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I brought it up.
Oh, the cocaine. Oh, you didn't know? Like, what?
Before getting mad, I tried to think of any hobbies I do that cost a comparable amount of money, but I really don't have any. My question is, how do I approach him about saying that $500 or at least part of it shouldn't really count as regular monthly regular monthly cost and should count more towards the remainder of our paycheck when deciding how much we should each be putting towards our down payment. I don't want it to come off as if I'm trying to judge or control his smoking, because I truly don't care, and it isn't like he's hiding it. I just don't, it just doesn't seem right that I'm pinching pennies at happy hour and figuring out ways to save a much higher proportion of my pay than he is. I don't care if he continues to spend that much money on weed in the future at all, but I think he should then be making financial sacrifices in other places so we can contribute, so we can continue to put money toward our down payment. Sincerely, conflict averse, but still want a house.
Dr. Bernstein, I'm sorry. What do you think about what's going on here?
Well, my first thought was the same as Jordana's. That seems like a lot of money. My husband's a musician, so I guess that's a certain budget, you know, that people have. But that kind of
can you expense that if you're a musician?
Got to put my psychedelics on the accountants on my what are you talking? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that does sound like a lot. So I think there's like a moderation question here first. That's like one thing. It's, you know, one thing to say, okay, this is your thing, but you know, so that's one thing that I would ask about, is just sort of like, all right, it's so, you know, for her to say, I get it, this is your thing, you like to do that, it calms you down or whatever your thing is, but that's, you know, to be able to bring up, that seems kind of like a lot. And I think this is a great practice question or stuff that's going to get even harder than this as life goes on, you know? So,
well, also like learning how to deal with conflict. She said she's like conflict averse. So this is sort of like even no matter what the actual issue was, like figuring out how to bring it up is probably like the main thing, right?
Yeah. And it sounded like the last time they spoke about it, that it seemed like it went well. Like maybe they do have good communication. They were able to have this conversation and be on the same page and agree on the 30% or whatever they were doing. So it sounds like they were able to have this conversation. So my recommendation to her would be to just reapproach it and sort of, you know, say like basically what she said here.
I have to say, I kind of heard a different thing from this email. Like, to me, I heard that first paragraph where it's like, we've decided to save up. We're going to contribute 30% each based on, like, the way they did it made me embarrassed about how my girlfriend and I are doing our finances. Like, we're very like, I got the groceries this time, you get them next. Like, I heard that and I was like, wow, good for them. Like, I was actually like, I was very impressed at the amount of communication they had. But then when it comes to like, okay, oh, I included the $500 a month in my personal, like, what did she call it?
Her like personal monthly finances or something, like, well, individual monthly expenses, she said.
His expenses. And you're like, to me, I'm like, he basically, like, to me, this was a contract negotiation where he slipped something in a buy, you know, like in like a small writing on the contract. Like, for him not to, like, I understand, like, he might be joking with a friend. Yeah, I'm doing $500 a month of getting high. Like, that's fun to talk with a friend. I don't know if that's the exact amount. But to then, like, look at her after they've had such a detailed and mathematical conversation, then go, oh yeah, that's what I included. Like, I think she has a right to be like, hey, we have to have a contract renegotiation. Like, when you talked about monthly expenses, I didn't put in my happy hour drinks. Should I put those in? Like, I would feel a little bit lied to, like, because like I would think that, like, in my mind, if I had it as, you know, as detailed as them, and then I went to my, I would feel like, and I'm not saying this is true, but that they went back to their friends or their family and they're like, yeah, I'm making out like a bandit. I'm getting my 500. She doesn't even know part of my expense. She didn't even ask what my expense, for me to break down my expenses. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I do agree that I'm pretty sure if he really pulled out a calculator or wrote, scratched this down on the back of an envelope, that when he was writing down that, he was like, should I include that or not? You know, I don't think that's a no brainer, you know? So,
well, here's my question. I don't know if it was like quite as malicious as like, you know, I'm just going to sneak this in and like,
sure.
Like, And she says she's like totally, the part that to me seems like, to defend him for a second, like that the part, she says she's total, she knows how much she smokes. He doesn't try to hide it. She's like totally fine with that part of it. So like, let's replace, hypothetically, if we replaced, you know, the weed thing with, he goes out with his friends. He goes out with his friends and spends about $500 a month, like on like dinner or bars or nights out with his friends.
Sure.
Would it be different? Or is it because it's like sort of like this seemingly unnecessary, like, is it sort of either consciously or subconsciously linked to like sort of like, but to perhaps a negative connotation with like spending money on drugs?
To me, it's more that he cooked the books. Like this, like when you send in your expenses to the government to be like, yeah, this is what I'm writing off for the year. Like, and you put like an extra Uber in there. That's kind of what I see this as with him, where he's like, oh yeah, this is like my play. You know, I'm doing, so I spend about $1,000 a month on food and leisure. And then, you know, like, and you're like, I don't know. I just think she has a right to renegotiate. That's my point. It's not that it's malicious. It, and like, but like in a relationship, like in, with dealing your, with your significant other, like I just wouldn't want to come to like the conclusion that I had to figure this out.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she's returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Do you think it's fair to ask someone to spend less money on something that they enjoy in order to buy a house, let's say?
Well, I think it's worth the conversation, you know, and I think like, Jared, when you said before that you and your girlfriend just kind of like, all right, I'll get this one. There's something nice about that too, because it's not so like tit for tat, which I think is an issue in a lot of relationships. In this relationship, if she comes in, to your point, Jordana, and says, okay, fine. If you're going to include your weed, I'm going to include my happy hour drinks and whatever. So that, if that's what we're going to do, if we're going to include, you know, that type of leisure stuff, then, you know, Jared, like you're saying, let's include it. Let's put it all out there. I'm going to include my whole credit card bill. I mean, what else is there than, you know, going out to drinks and dinner and weed, unless you're, you know, I don't know what else people...
I guess like a vacation or like, I don't know, or yeah, whatever it might be.
A way to have this conversation from the couples therapist perspective is, you know, you don't want it to come off as, okay, tit for tat. Like you spent, you know, well, if you're going to do this, then I'm going to do this.
Right.
I think it has to be more a conversation about how she feels, which is sort of like when I, you know, order the $2 Bud Light at happy hour instead of getting my martini that I usually like, it makes me feel resentful that I know that you're not. I think for her, it's more the issue of I'm kind of pinching pennies and you're not. And that's the part that's upsetting her. So I think, you know, when she communicates this, it's just sort of like, this is how I feel this way when I haven't put in a situation where I'm trying to save money and I don't feel like you are.
Right. That'll probably get him to like empathize more with the situation than being like, trying to feeling like she's trying to control him, or like phrasing it as like, this is my vengeful now, like, plan is to include all these things.
Including all her happy hours or whatever she does, yeah.
I could also totally understand that she has no idea what $500 worth of weed is. Like, I don't. Like, I'm not a big... It seems like a lot, but, like, I'm not a smoker. I don't know. Like, I will partake. I'm not a square, but I'm no. Like, I'm just saying. Like, I don't know. So maybe, like, maybe he would go, like, to defend him, I guess, is to say, like, well, when I smoke this much each day, it works out to that. Like I know what a beer costs, you know, like, as opposed to. So maybe it's like even discussing. Like, hopefully he comes back with, well, this is how much my weed costs, you know, like, that's a more, you know, that's more of a conversation. At least you're having it, you know?
Right. And bottom line, if she's okay with how much she's smoking, like, she doesn't feel like it's a problem, then I guess this whole thing isn't a problem, because that's part of the deal with him, is he's going to have this expense, whether she includes it in his, whether they include it in the 30% or not. Like, at some point when you get married, it's all going to be one big pool of money, is what it sounds like.
Right. His expenses are going to be your expenses, kind of.
Yeah. So this is part of the package, unless, which it doesn't sound like, the issue is this is a ridiculous amount of money to be spending on weed. But that doesn't sound like what she's saying.
No. Yeah.
So she might just, the other perspective for her might be, I 100% think she should bring it up. I 100% think she should discuss it with him, but the answer for her might be, okay, this is part of the deal with him. This is what he comes with. He comes with a, you know, $500 a month price tag in weed. That's part of his deal, you know?
She should have known when she moved his bong collection into the house. That should have been a telltale sign. I have a kind of a separate question to this. Do you get a lot of questions from couples on the subject of drugs and substance abuse? Is that like a big thing with couples that come to you, or is that a big part of the what's going on?
I would imagine, like, alcohol or drinking related. Yeah. I feel like that's what we used to fight about a lot.
Drinking seems to be more of the issue sometimes. Like, if there's kids involved, then I think weed becomes more of an issue, because, you know, it's the drinking, usually there's more fighting, people come home, you know, they're like typically issues that couples can handle when both people are drinking. That, like, a lot of times they'll call me after some major blowout that happened when they both went out and they both had too much to drink, and then all that icky stuff that's been brewing kind of spews all over the place.
They get some verbal beer muscles, so to speak.
Right. So sometimes there's that. Like, I've had a lot of couples that just only argue when they're drunk. So then I'm kind of like, look, if you're only arguing when you're drunk and you're coming in here and you're paying all this money for couples therapy, let's just try to not drink as much and see how the relationship does. You know?
Sure. Or right. Let's all get drunk and have the therapy while you're drunk.
Well, I remember
that doesn't work.
Well, that's funny. I remember, like, you know, talking to my therapist about some fights we had gotten in, and he's like, have you ever thought about drinking a little less? And I was like, whoa.
I didn't come here to get judged.
Yeah. No, so I think it is.
Looks like a desperate.
I think the alcohol is an issue, because it definitely, it makes people not communicate in a kind and empathic way. Like, if she decided to approach this issue when she was drunk, it probably wouldn't go as well as if she was well thought out and, you know, thoughtful about her approach and how he was going to take it.
I would assume that, like, the one thing you can't really see coming with, like, relationships and marriage is, like, how someone, like, what, I guess, like, alcohol especially, you don't know, like, are we on the same wavelength, like, with the amount of drinking, when's the time to stop? Like, that's got to be such a hard thing to figure out.
100. I have actually had a lot of couples that come in that met, you know, out, and there you spent their relationship, like, drinking and partying with friends and whatever, and then they get married, and then usually there's a sort of like, okay, we're married now, maybe we should slow down. And it's like, well, but we don't have any kids, what's the problem? And then sometimes once they start thinking about, or the woman or whomever starts thinking about having kids, then there's this issue of this, our whole relationship has been this, and now suddenly it's not going to be this, and that's a big change, you know. It's a big change to go from, you know, hanging out, drinking pretty much every weekend, maybe both nights of the weekend, to, you know, definitely much less.
I mean, also, like, I drank last weekend, and I flew back on Sunday, and then, you know, Jess is like, let's do lunch, let's do whatever when I got back, you know, or let's eat at the apartment. And I'm like, I can't imagine throwing a kid into this, like getting back and being hungover and feeling
right.
like crap. And then it's like, I would be like, yeah, you take care of the kid. But it's like, you just got back. You didn't see him the whole, you know, like I had this whole imaginary hungover
fight either about your about your non-existent child.
Exactly.
I'll do that too, where I'll be like, you know, you're sleeping till like 11:30 on the weekends. Like, who's going to take care of the baby when, like, yeah. the baby that doesn't exist? Like, who's going to be getting up early on the weekends to get these? Like, there is no baby.
What do you mean? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. So I think that comes up a lot, especially like when you're really, once you start trying, then you're anxious about everything. Kind of like, you know, there's all these changes, or if you get pregnant or whatever, that's a big one, you know, because then you literally can't drink. And so now, you know, that complicates the relationship.
Oh, man. Oh, how good it is to be a man. Well, good luck seeing 9 months. That's what I'm going to say when I
got a designated
as I'm cracking
driver.
Into a beer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do another email. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. You want to read it?
Yeah, UUP@Betches.com. Listen, we have Dr. Bernstein at our disposal. So if you have an email that you think would be good for the show that would need a professional take on it, send it in. UUP@Betches.com. Hi, J&J. Longtime listener here. Thank you for giving me a reason to look forward to Wednesdays during the quarantine. And now Sundays, people. Make your Instagram stories. I am writing in to get your perspective on a situation with my boyfriend who I've recently moved in with during quarantine. It was planned pre-coronavirus. So this is like exactly my situation. My girlfriend and I were planning on moving in, then moved in mid-quarantine, but it was always like, coming, you know, it wasn't because we were like, let's shack up and see what happens. This is, I think, a different situation, but this seems very much in line with what I'm going through. We've been living together for less than 2 months, and I started going back to work in June. For the 4th of July, we went away to his family's lake house, and he stayed for a few more weeks. I had to go back to our home city because I'm back at work, and he could stay and work remotely. Honestly, the 3 weeks we were apart were tough. I was alone because of quarantine, and most of my friends had left the city to quarantine elsewhere. On top of that, our communication wasn't as often as I would have liked. He was also with his family and often doing activities. Oh, that's got to suck. To, like, you're stuck in an apartment wherever she is.
Alone,
and
then, yeah.
Yeah, and they're on the lake, they're fishing, hiking. He's got his, you know, bucket hat on. Often we would text a little during the day, and then he would call or text at night and try to initiate sexting or phone sex.
Okay. Sounds like he's having a great time.
What a day. Man, with all that hiking, I could really use some coming. I would be frustrated because it felt like he would only want to talk to me if it could lead to sexting. I'd bring this up while he was gone, often leading to arguments and making me feel even more lonely. We've now talked through a lot of these issues and both understand that if it wasn't for quarantine, I might not have felt so lonely. But I was alone in our new apartment for weeks and didn't have a social life to turn to. Now he's thinking about going back to his lake house for Labor Day and staying for another extended period of time. This guy is hilarious to me. I'm sorry. He says he should take advantage of being able to do this thanks to work from home. But I feel like he's not thinking about us and how we now live together, and I need to be taken into consideration. As Jared would say, he's not thinking in terms of we. Am I overreacting for not wanting him to stay an extended period of time and leaving me alone in our new apartment? My thought is he should do a week there, but then come back. We're in a new chapter of our relationship, and I want us to spend time in our apartment and just the life living together. I'd appreciate an outside perspective because I can't tell if I just became a crazy girlfriend while I was alone in the apartment for weeks. Thank you. I started talking to my plants. So what do we think here? Dr. Bernstein, any thoughts?
Yeah, well, look, you know, Jared, it seemed like you had a pretty strong reaction to it, just in terms of like, this guy's kind of getting away with murder here.
I have to say, I don't mean to like turn on my own kind, but like this guy is
something
like, yeah, he's something else. I got it right. Doesn't it?
If they're at the point where they're living together, I find it odd that it never came up that he was like, are you coming like with me to my parents?
Well, she had to go back to work.
She has to be in the office. That's a good point.
She seems like, to me, she seems pretty reasonable and actually like really, she's really working with him to the point where she's like, to the point where she sounds gaslighted a little bit. Like she sounds like she's been gaslit, right?
Well, I saw you pause a second when you read that part where it said we talked it through and came to the conclusion that if it wasn't for quarantine, that I wouldn't feel so lonely. And it's sort of like that was, you know, I don't know that that's like right. A conclusion, because it is quarantine and you do feel lonely, you know, so the reality.
But it doesn't make it okay.
Right. The reality of it is this is how you feel. And 100%. I mean, I think you're right. I think she knows what is reasonable. She's very introspective. And I think her solution of like, yeah, do a week and then come home for a week and then go back for a week or whatever you want to do. But I think to just sort of leave her alone and then say, yeah, well, it sucks. If it wasn't for quarantine, you probably wouldn't feel like this because you'd have all your friends and, you know, but you don't. So it is what it is. And I think she has a right to sort of say, hey, you know, we have this new place, you know, come. I get it. She doesn't want to be a buzzkill and sort of be like, just because I'm miserable needing to work every day, you should be miserable sitting in the apartment, you know, not fishing and jet skiing or whatever he's doing over there. But I do think it's reasonable for her to say, hey, let's compromise. You know, how about you come home for a week and then you can go back, or, you know, whatever the case might be. I think a compromise sounds reasonable in this.
Right. For me, it would bother me, I think, more that he like didn't want to stay.
Yes.
You know, like I want him to want to do the dish. Like I want him to. It wouldn't be like that. I think that would annoy me even more than the fact that he was gone would be. And I think you, Jared, used to kind of experience this when you were on the road a lot more, maybe like when you weren't living together, and it would be like you're gone all the time, and it would be like more. It's more annoying to me when like the person like doesn't want to, like when you're like, oh, I have to like negotiate with you to get you to be here. Like I want you to like be excited and want to be living with me and want to stay with me, and not that I have to like work out this deal with you or this contract with you where you got to be home for like a week here, and then you can go live your best life the other week. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Because then he might end up feeling resentful that he's being dragged, you know, that she's like forcing him to stay home. I think she wants to feel missed and she doesn't, you know, even in the contact during the day where he's like, seems like he only wants to reach out to her when he wants to, you know, sext or whatever. So yeah, I think she wants to feel like he misses her the same way she misses him. But at the flip side, you know, for him, that does sound like, you know, you do a couple hours of work and then you go fishing, or you do a couple hours of work and then you, you know, go lay on a beach or whatever he's doing. So I get that. It's not exactly comparing apples to apples in terms of being with her.
I guess the thing, I have this thing where I'm always jealous of people who lack the thing of their brain. Like, it sounds like he lacks that thing in his brain that makes him feel uncomfortable doing exactly what he wants to do. Right. Like, and I have a little bit of jealousy of that in my own life, because I'm always like, I'm triple thinking things. How will this person
Everyone
feel?
Everyone always says, Jared, you're too considerate.
I'm too considerate.
You're just always putting others before yourself.
That's my thing. I'm Jared, Mr. Considerate Free. That's what people call me.
Girlfriend. If you didn't have that, you probably would not have a girlfriend today. If you didn't have that little chip that says, I don't think she would probably, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I do understand, like, even my parents, they're like, come down. Like, they're in Florida and they're like, get down here. And I'm like, well, you know, like I gotta consider, you know, Jess has a schedule. We gotta figure that out. I don't know. Like, to me, like, it sounds like he's just going, they're like, come to the lake. And he's like, see you there. And he's like, and just has no, like, there does have to be, you're living with someone. This isn't a roommate. This isn't someone you're passing, you know, you can see, you cannot see for a week. Like, you know, like even like a roommate, you cannot see them for a week because you're on different schedules. But like, if you're living with someone, a significant other, I just don't understand how he, again, how he's getting away with this. Like, it doesn't.
Right. Or I get what Dr. Bernstein is saying here, in terms of like, yeah, he's like, it is like a good, it is like a nice situation to be able to be at a lake house. So it's not like I can understand why he'd be like, yeah, this is like a great opportunity. But then if she's like, if she is, I think, accurately and appropriately expressing how she feels, even if he does go, there are other ways that he can show that even if he's gone, that he's thinking about her, that it's not just like a sex thing, that he's like, that he wished that he does want to be with her, whether that's like calling her more in like a non-sexual way, sending her flowers, or like, you know, suggesting she come down for the weekend or a time that she's not working. Like, that seems like potentially another option or something like that. I feel like there's ways to sort of, that I think men miss a lot of the time, those opportunities where they're like, well, we just can't figure it out. It's like, if you do something to show that you care, I think the person usually doesn't take it as personally, because it's not really about like, oh, he's there and he's not here. It's like a sense that she's like, does he even want to be here?
Well, how do you, because so in that sense, I do think like saying to her, him how she feels when he goes, like putting it in those terms, like Dr. Bernstein, like you said for the last email, where it's like, I feel this way when you call me and it's all about, she said, but how do you deal with a significant other who kind of lives in the land of facts instead of emotions? Like, it feels like to me in this email, when she says, it feels like you only call me to sex, and that often leading to arguments and making me feel even more lonely. She said she would bring this up when he's gone, often leading to arguments and making me feel more lonely. And then when they talk about the issues, we both understand it wasn't for quarantine. I might not have felt so lonely. Like, it sounds like his argument style or his debate style is to say, there's a lake with a house that I can stay in for free. How could you take that away from me? I'm up there lonely too. That's why I need to sext. Like, there are people that kind of like that live in this right. like black and white. How could you take away these things from me? You know that you would want
overly
them
rational
too.
Almost.
Right. Yeah. How do you deal with someone like that?
Well, I think if she could, you know, have the conversation in terms of like, part of being in a relationship is caretaking each other. Right. So her saying to him, as she has this whole time, like, okay, I'm going to take care of you by saying, I know this is important to you. I know this makes you happy. You're with your friends, you're with your family. I'm going to be happy for you and be supportive and kind of give you that, because I know that that's something that makes you happy. But like Jordan is saying, well, what can he do to do the same thing? So it doesn't have to be that rational argument. Like, I can't be in two places at once. I can't be at the lake and be at home. Mm. She's going to give it to him. She's going to let him be up at that lake perhaps for a certain period of time. But I agree with Jordana. If she said to him, I need you to take care of me a little bit more, or to meet my emotional needs a little bit more, like, you know, call me during the day or FaceTime me while you're on the boat or whatever it is that he can do. Send me flowers every now and then, or invite me up, or at least show that there's some desire to be together. I agree with you. I think it would make a big difference for her if he was more connected while he was there. Yeah. So that's that way of saying like, yeah, black and white, rational. Okay, your physical body can be up at the lake, but I need to be emotionally, you know,
connected. Yeah.
And I need to feel connected. And maybe that's a bigger issue. Like I said, some of this stuff, these quarantine, you know, squabbles end up digging at a bigger issue, which is maybe she's more desiring of that emotional connection than he is.
But also, she shouldn't apologize for this. Like, the idea, again, that sentence like really hit me, where it's like, we both came to, if it wasn't for the quarantine, I might not have felt so lonely. Like, to her, I would say, like, how many times in life is that going to be the sentence? If it wasn't for me being pregnant, I wouldn't feel so emotional.
Right.
If it wasn't for me having to take care of the kids, we would have more sex. If it wasn't for me, for the kids moving on to college, we'd have more to talk about. Like, when does that end? Is really, like, I understand, like, to me, the quarantine, COVID isn't the excuse because that's just a life moment. This is how you reacted. This is how he reacted. He went to the lake. You know,
and if that's like, the case, how are you going to help me get through this instead of just saying like, well, this is what it is. It'll pass once this thing passes. Instead, it's like, how can we work together to make me not so that I don't feel like this?
Right. I think there might have been a little bit of, I don't know if it was like gaslighting, like you said, or there might have been a little bit of like her getting really angry or crazy or like kind of flipping out. And then the conversation turned to like, whoa, you're being crazy. Whoa, like relax, you're being controlling. And now she's like, oh, okay. I am sorry I was being so crazy and controlling. I just am so lonely because it's quarantine. I don't think she wants to identify as like a crazy controlling girlfriend. And I think
clingy person, right? Yeah.
And I think she's feeling like that right now. And it's not making her feel good about herself either, which is hence the email, you know?
Yeah. I think that can often happen when you like lead with like anger, as opposed to like what you were saying before in terms of like, this is how I feel. Like if you come to someone and you feel like sad, I feel like it's a lot easier for them to like sort of like do what they can to make you feel better than like if you come to them with anger, because then they're just like on the defensive and like, here's the list of facts for like why you shouldn't be angry and mad.
And now they're angry that you're angry. So now you're both like angry, you know, which doesn't
exactly
go well.
I think also I totally agree. And I also like Jordana, like when you moved in with Mike, like when I moved in with Jess, like we're still getting to know our living situation. Like, I'm not saying that I even know anything at this point, but like the first couple months, like we've been living together for less than 2 months and I started going back to work in June. 4th of July, we went to his, like the timeline of this is like, they don't even know how they operate as a living together couple at this point.
Right. Well, that's why I get where she's like, let's like do this. Like we're live together. Like let's live together.
Yeah.
Like, that was the point of like,
probably so psyched, you know, like I'm sure what didn't happen overnight. You know, she's probably really excited and thought maybe he was too. And then it actually sounds like it didn't even end up happening.
And in her head, she's probably like, oh, he keeps leaving. Like, does he regret this? Like, why is he like, he doesn't seem like he's like so excited about this. Like, If I moved in with someone and they immediately started leaving for long stretches at a time, I would start to question whether that was something they really wanted or not.
I think Jess feels that way when I take a walk.
You're not in this.
Yeah. Why are you walking so much? Where are you going? I just like the bridge. It's a good view. What's that? I go for longer walks. Oh, I should go for longer walks, she said. this was great. Do we have anything else?
I think that's it. This was so helpful and so great. I'm so glad that you came back. I'm sure the listeners will be too. We had great feedback from the first time you were here. And just to repeat for the listeners, where can they find you if they want to book a personal one-on-one session or group therapy? Where can they look that up?
Sure. NaomiBernstein.com. So NaomiBernstein.com to reach out to me and book an appointment, an individual session. Or if you are interested in group therapy, you can find me at GroupportTherapy.com. You put in your information. And the one cool thing about it, and I actually tested it out because I hate this, when you go to a website and you just kind of want to check it out and you put in your name and email and then they bombard you with a bunch of crap for the next 2 weeks. So that doesn't happen. So you can put your email in, put your name in, just poke around a little bit, click on relationships. You'll see me there and you can find out how to get started doing group therapy where you can see me, but it'll be in a group setting with some other people too. So that's grouporttherapy.com or naomibernstein.com. And I look forward to helping a lot of you and coming back. You guys let me know when you're ready, because I love doing this. It's really fun. And you guys are great.
Well, that's it for the Sunday special. Every Sunday we are here with a little something extra. If you have an idea for the Sunday special, something new for us to do, we got ideas. We don't need your ideas, but we'd like them. UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. And tune in Wednesdays. Tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. Keep sharing on Instagram. We'll be back next episode.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.